Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to this edition of our English feature program. I'm Philippa Hitchin. Coming up today, joining forces to promote peace in the Holy Land, an international conference hosted by Catholic and Anglican churches in the UK appeals for practical support for Christians in the Holy Land, and making use of the latest media technologies. The head of the Vatican's Council for Social Communications returns from two major meetings of Catholic media experts in Brazil. A joint conference of Catholic and Anglican experts on the Middle East took place in London this week, highlighting the struggles and challenges of Christians in the Holy Land today. The conference on Monday and Tuesday, held at the Archbishop of Canterbury's headquarters of Lambeth Palace, aimed to raise greater awareness of the difficulties facing the minority Christians in Israel and the Palestinian territories, and find practical ways of supporting the churches there. At the opening of the conference on Monday, the Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem, Fuad Twal, and his Anglican counterpart, Bishop Suhail Dawani, joined some young Palestinian Christians in speaking of the human face of the continuing conflict. I spoke to Patriarch Twal to find out what he hoped this conference might achieve.
Well, for the moment, I don't think that we can now achieve something. We hope in the future. That for me, is more important the follow-up than the event itself. The event itself is great, nice, shows the concern of this church from outside about our situation, and we are really grateful for this concern, and they are enthusiastic. At the same time, all the young people who spoke, for me, they were very moderate, without any appeal for violence or the rest, just calling for more dignity, more freedom of worship, more freedom of movement. And if you have the time to read my speech, you can see our concern about the situation for all the inhabitants of the Holy Land. And we have the courage to say occupation is bad for them, bad for us. And nobody can wait for us to give our benediction for this situation. We know that politicians don't like to speak about the situation, about that dire situation. I think that only the church now has the courage to say what is good, what is wrong, and to make an appeal to improve the situation for everybody.
You say that hope is being shattered, that people are losing hope in any kind of political solution. What else can Catholics, Anglicans, what can Christians do to try and push for peace there?
Well, they can do a lot of things. First of all, we are grateful for any help that they are giving from everywhere. But I think now, today, what we need more is advocacy, advocacy, advocacy. Even the last 2 weeks I have been in the States, and I noticed that with the politicians, it is, I don't say desperate case, but it is almost desperate case. They are one-sided for one line. We cannot change them. So meanwhile, in the church, in the civil society, in the organizations, we need more advocacy altogether. Jews, Muslims, Christians, I think we have to create a new culture, of justice, and we must have the courage to say what is wrong is wrong, what is good, yeah. That's why I see, frankly, since the last year, since even the visit of His Holiness, the situation is not better. It's not better, absolutely it's not better. And people need concrete gestures, concrete steps on the ground to say it is now better. In fact, it is not better.
You say that forces of extremism are also growing, that chances for peace are dwindling at the moment.
Well, they go together, these two ideas. It is normal. As long as the moderate have not a word to say, have not a role to play, the extremist from one side to the other side is earning more power and more voice, and to say, look, there is no any result of this moderate situation. And we are afraid, really we are afraid, to go in a desperate case and to empower this extremism. And any extremism whether it comes from either one side or the other, is bad for all of us.
You've got members of the British government, the European Parliament there attending this conference. Do you feel that Europe, as well as the US, should also be playing a more important role at the moment for peace in the region?
Well, I think they are willing. They are willing. And those some personalities who passed through Jerusalem, they are willing to play. And I want them to play. We wish them to see them playing a more role. The question is whether the others, leave them, play this role. That's the question. Whether it is a monopoly from one side or everybody can help. We need all the society. But now with us, there is it seems, the vice president of the European Community is with us. And he said, we are with you. We hope to be more involved, to help. I said, thank you. Really, we need everybody. And the big and the small and the rich and the poor, we need, and special way. And I think that's good. Now all the church, the Anglican and the Catholic, seems that they will be more involved. The last speaker in this meeting was a Jewish one, and he did a strong call for the Christians to move more, the Jewish one.
You say you're encouraged by this ecumenical approach and the need for closer cooperation. How closely do you yourself work with Bishop Suhail in Jerusalem, for example? What more can your own churches do to work more closely together?
Really, I always spoke about the Christian community of the Holy Land. I never mentioned the Catholics and the Anglican, the Lutheran, and so on. I spoke only for the Christian community. In the same time, if we have any ecumenical collaboration, it must be through institutions. It is not a question of persons. Institutions, whether hospitals, schools, Caritas, anything that we can do together. And in fact, we are a small number. We have the right to separate churches already separated here. I think it is an urgent case to collaborate together. And the fact that we are now together, and our Archbishop in London are together, and the organization are together, it is a good sign of ecumenical collaboration. Yeah, we are doing our best to be near all of them. I know that the Latin Catholic Church has a role to play, and all are looking to us to lead this movement, to lead more collaboration. We are aware of that, and we will do our best.
The Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem there, Fuad Twal. Participants at the two-day conference included Catholic and Anglican bishops, plus Christian, Jewish and Muslim politicians and other experts. Amongst the US participants at the conference was the former Archbishop of Washington, Cardinal Theodore McCarrick, who travels regularly to the Holy Land to promote interfaith dialogue and cooperation. He told me about his most recent visit to Gaza and about his hopes for this ecumenical encounter.
Well, I think the difficulty in Gaza is that there is so much insecurity. There's so much doubt about what the future is going to be. And people who ordinarily would be building are afraid to build. People who would be establishing businesses or trying to work better educational opportunities, they're afraid because the last time there was the invasion, the last time all the police stations were destroyed, and many of the schools that probably by accident, only God knows. But because of that, people are hesitating to really make a full contribution to the future of Gaza. And then, of course, there are the Palestinian elections coming up, and we're not sure what that will mean in Gaza, whether there'll be a change in government, whether the government will continue, whether the elections will be fair. All those things are question marks. And because of that, I find that there's a lot of hesitation. Among the older people, there's fear. Among the younger people, there's frustration. That's a bad combination. But we do our best to relieve the fears and to bring hope instead of frustration. That's our job.
What do you see principally as the aims of this two-day London conference?
Well, I think more than anything else, it's a chance to listen. This is what both the Archbishop of Canterbury and Archbishop Nichols said. It's a chance to listen and to see at first hand what the situation on the ground is in the Holy Land. And then, after having understood where the people are coming from and where the present situation is, to try to see how we can be helpful. Not only the Christian community, and certainly not only the Roman Catholic Church, but also the family of Abraham, you know, the joint progeny of the great patriarch Abraham, who are all of us Christians and all of us Jews and all of us Muslims, so that we can, by working together, maybe once again approach the powers that be and let them know that there is a common voice looking for peace and for justice.
You have been working on this for many years, though, haven't you, already? You've been dedicating a lot of your time to trying to push for peace in the Holy Land. What makes you think that this conference may be any different from so many other initiatives that don't seem to have had any success so far?
Well, I think one always has hope. And you, when you give up and say, oh, this is just another attempt that will fail, then you don't come with a sense of trust in God. The Lord keeps telling us, you keep knocking and I'll answer the door, so that I think it's our opportunity to continue to do that. And another thing that makes it of greater interest this time is that there's truly a very, very clear joining between the Roman Catholic community and the Anglican community, and not only with the interest on our side of the ocean, but on the other side as well. And I think there's representation from Europe there, as there is during the usual January meetings when some of the Catholics get together. But here we're trying to expand that and to bring more voices and more interested parties into pushing for peace. The more people that cry out for peace, the better chance we have of doing it. And the more people that get involved in understanding the situation on the ground, the terrible concerns of the Israelis for security and the terrible concerns of the Palestinians for an end to occupation and the chance to have their own feasible bordered state, I think the better that is. Especially now, there's a crucial moment with the Palestinians about to go to the United Nations and asking for the recognition of a separate Palestinian state. So it's a moment when the more voices that are raised in favor of peace and justice and security for everybody concerned, the better it is.
How do you see this move by the Palestinians to try and have their state recognized at the United Nations there? Do you think this can be a step forward?
Well, that is my hope. You know, there are some who feel that it's not going to be worthwhile, and indeed, only history can tell. But, you know, I would like to see it happen because I'd like to see the Palestinians say, hey, we've accomplished something. We've been working so hard in the last few years to in the Palestinian territories, in the territory of Palestine, to beef up our police protection, to beef up our industry, our economy. And indeed, a lot has been done in the last two or three years, thanks to a lot of people, thanks to the help of other countries, thanks to the persistence of Prime Minister Fayyad, that the Palestinians are now in a better shape than they were economically, and even as far as their own security, than they were, say, 5 years ago. So that there have been some, they have been working hard to accomplish something. And with that understanding, maybe now is the time for the nations of the world to say, we recognize that they've been working hard on this, and we recognize that they've been working with an eye also to provide better security to Israel. I think all this is important. You cannot ignore the concerns of the Israelis for security, but you cannot ignore also the desire of the Palestinians for their own independence.
When President Obama came to power, there were great hopes that the Middle East might feature very high, that there might be a new push for peace. And yet, this doesn't seem to be topping the agenda at the moment. What message will you be taking back to Washington with you?
Well, the message that I've been taking to Washington for many years already, and it's the message of the Holy Father, looking for a two-state solution, looking for a settlement there that will give security to our Israeli brothers and sisters, and that will give a chance for greater independence and for the possibility of a state with their recognizable borders for Palestine, and to say to them that every moment is the right moment to do something good. And I think we have to, therefore, get after our own government in the United States, and hopefully from this meeting, governments in Europe will also attend to join us and say, okay, now, let's work harder. There have got to be some answers. There have got to be some solutions. We cannot say that all the brilliant people in the world and all the good people in the world who are seeking to have something which will help people, and that certainly will, and it will help bring a measure of security not only to the Holy Land but to many other countries in the Middle East. That you can't say that we shouldn't try this again. And here are the religious leaders of two major congregations, our own Catholic community and the Anglican Church, with others possibly joining in later. Here they are saying, let's give it another try. Let's not lose hope. Let's not lose trust in the Lord. Let's move this forward with God's help.
Cardinal Theodore McCarrick, the former Archbishop of Washington. Representing the Holy See at the London conference was the head of the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue, French Cardinal Jean-Louis Torrent, who called for increased efforts to bring down the physical and psychological barriers separating Israelis and Palestinians. He told me he was greatly encouraged by the positive and hopeful voices of young Palestinians and Israelis attending the two-day meeting.
Of course, the Christians in the Holy Land are in a situation of precariousness, but on the other hand, they are also they have a mission in the Holy Land, in the sense that they are part of this region of the world. They are apostolic communities because their practice comes through the faith of the apostles. This is their identity. And they are also a gift for the society in the sense that they bring cultural openness, a sense of dignity of the human person and particularly of women, a conception of freedom, and so on. So I think this is a give and take in a way.
It's also very difficult in a practical sense, though, for dialogue to take place. As you know, Jews aren't allowed through into the occupied areas.
But I must tell you that I've been very, very positively surprised by the intervention of Palestinians and Israelis of the young generations. And I have admired their courage, their balance in analyzing the situation. And I think we are on the good track. But what is important is that we must give our brothers and sisters, Christian brothers and sisters of the Holy Land, the tools of survival, that is to say, decent education, decent housing, and a job. This is very important that at the end of this conference, practical steps be foreseen in order to encourage people to remain on the spot.
There are already many organizations, the Knights of the Holy Sepulchre, many other groups that are already supporting Christians in the Holy Land. What else would you like to see? What other steps do you think can help?
Well, I think at the level of a diplomatic level, for example, to be more outspoken about the situation of these communities, you see. Because sometimes, especially in a situation where you have a country divided by a wall, the separation begets ignorance, and ignorance begets frustration, and frustration begets violence. And so it is very important that, first of all, the walls disappear, and not only the physically speaking, but also psychologically and culturally speaking, in order that people meet and they realize they are sons of the same God.
Do you think you can play a stronger role? The Holy See, in a more broader sense, can play a stronger role, as you say, in speaking out?
Well, it's always possible, but I think the Holy See is outspoken as regard this issue, especially the Middle East. The Pope, this morning I was referring myself to the Pope Benedict XVI's speech at the Tel Aviv airport in May 2009, at the end of his pilgrimage, and I think this is a fundamental speech to understand his position about the Middle East.
What will you be taking back from this conference? As you say, you've been encouraged by the voices of young people. How do you hope to follow up on that?
Well, I think that we must reinforce our engagement in education, our schools, for example. I'm thinking to Bethlehem University. Schools and university and hospitals are the three structure through which we can help really people to survive and to look at the future with much more confidence.
How important is it, the ecumenical cooperation, this conference organized by the Anglican and Catholic churches there in the UK?
Well, I think it is a marvelous testimony of the of this climate, very positive, that we find in England, due, I think, to the personality of the Archbishop of Canterbury, who is a remarkable man, and who I found also in the Archbishop, in the two last Archbishop of Westminster, prelates who are perfectly aware that in the today world we must announce Christ in spite of our division with one voice, because we are living in a society which is not which is not built only without God, but very sometimes against God. So it is important that the Christians speak with one voice.
Thanks there to Cardinal Jean-Louis Torrent, President of the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue. From Skyping to connect priests in far-flung corners of the country to sharing the gospel through social media networks, the church in Brazil is making use of the latest media tools to help with the huge challenges it faces today. That's according to the head of the Vatican's Council for Social Communications, Archbishop Claudio Chailly, who's just returned from Rio de Janeiro, where he took part in two major meetings, bringing together bishops, religious and lay experts in all areas of communications technology. The first event was a seminar for bishops on the theme Communication and Evangelization, which took place from June 12th to 16th. That was followed by the inauguration of a meeting for Catholic media professionals from right across the vast South American nation. Upon his return to the Vatican, Archbishop Chailly talked to me about the creative and enthusiastic ways in which the Brazilian church is engaging with the multicultural context of the country today. A Amazônia é a testemunha que as tribos
precisam de ti. The seminar for bishops was very important because about 70 Brazilian bishops and two cardinals were present discussing, analyzing, meditating about the mission of the church in the field of communication and considering the new perspectives of the digital culture. For sure, in Brazil, new technologies are operating quite well. And so we thought, and this was an initiative taken by the Pontifical Council for Social Communication and the Episcopal Conference of Brazil. And I thought that was good indeed. During 4 days, it was good to see bishops analyzing and trying to understand the new challenges provoked by new technologies in the actual society in Brazil. And they were meditating about the fundamental mission of the church in evangelization, but considering the opportunities given by new technologies. There were more moments of working groups and also having the possibility to talk with experts in the field of communication. Also for the bishops, there was a special panel of the four principal channels of television. They're really doing a wonderful job in Brazil. But this is just only a moment, an aspect of communications. Consider, for example, that in Brazil are operating more than 200 Catholic radios. And this is understandable, because considering the large dimensions of the diocese, a bishop without the contribution of the radio, really they cannot do the same job in evangelization and human promotion. And so I think that this is important. The second moment of our presence, of my presence in Brazil, was the mutirao of the comunicação. What is this? This is just a meeting of people involved in communication in all Brazil. We were having around 1,000 people working in the field of communication in the different regions. And they were talking about diversity and mobility. Why? Because certainly Brazil is marked by Christianism in his history and in his life. But for sure also, Brazil is discovering that other cultures are present. We can say that is a pluricultural presence in Brazil. And so I think that the church, in its fundamental mission of evangelization, has to meditate, to evaluate what is her mission today in this field of communication, considering the pluricultural dimension of the society. And so, according also to the teachings of Pope Benedict, the church certainly has to announce the truth, Jesus, but in a respectful dialogue with the truths of others.
Brazil has always been a country divided between a very wealthy elite and the majority of very poor people, particularly in some areas. Doesn't these new technologies risk increasing, if you like, this digital divide?
It is true, because, and the bishops are perceiving, during the seminar with bishops, we were mentioning such problems. You can imagine some areas. Consider, for example, Amazonia. Some bishops present from Amazonia were mentioning with a certain strength the problematics arising from these questions, these problems. And notwithstanding such problematics, the bishops would like to have and to play the opportunities given by new technologies. Consider, for example, one bishop was saying that he's using Skype to talk with these priests scattered around large, tremendously large territories. And the bishop was telling us, to all of you, he was sharing his experiences. Without Skype, he was telling us, I cannot talk with my priest. And so every evening I am spending some hours at the PC just to talk with my own priests, because they feel alone. Because just to meet another priest, they need a one day of trip, you see. So really, and now, for example, with the Salem and the Pontifical Council is trying to create an episcopal net in order to have the bishops can utilize a new net created for them in order to talk among themselves, to have correspondence. Certainly, new technologies can give such opportunities to the bishops to develop, to exert their pastoral ministry.
My thanks there to Archbishop Claudio Celi, President of the Pontifical Council for Social Communications. And that's all from me, Philippa Hitchin, and from all of us here at the English Programme for today. You're listening to Vatican Radio. Laudato Jesus Christus.